Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I discuss the stories that help us accomplish to be better artists as well as better art entrepreneurs. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I'm artist, art entrepreneur, and art coach or teacher. This is episode 64 of Art Talk, and today I like to ponder on the psychology behind collecting art. I'm an art historian and a portrait artist, trained by drawing and painting life. Portraits are still very much wanted, but in my research I found different subjects like abstract, still life, cityscapes, digital art, etc., striving for popularity. An artist wondering if what they make is most popular. I wondered what the psychology behind art collecting art was or is, and if that is topic related or something else. Why do people collect art? Well, some say abstract is most popular because people can make up their own stories. Others say landscapes and cityscapes because people feel a certain calm or can relate. Or they say it's still life that are still very popular. Portraits, however, are also popular, very popular. People like to watch other people's faces. And there is a big but. It is one of the hardest things to do, and you really need skill. That is, if you do it live or partially live, depending on the time people can sit. And those who never invested time in art and thought a photo would cover their memory can say now they understand how a portrait painted gives much more than a banal photo of life and is even more probing than reality itself. And I know this from experience with people who commissioned me. My question then is, if I step away from the subjects or topics, the what's and how popular they are or not, how can collecting art serve many psychological functions for individuals? And I want to discuss a few possible explanations about it. Let's start with pure aesthetics. Humans can have an appreciation for beauty and art. Some say it's innate. But that's not true. Even a popular belief that everyone has innate creativity is not true, even though philosopher Georges Bataille wrote that art should be brought down to the world, from its elevated status to its base materialism, and that this debased state should be celebrated as a tool for creativity, formlessness. L'informé was about destroying categories and knocking art off its metaphorical pedestal so that it sat in the gutter. Bataille rejected high-minded humanism, which he said elevated form to an idealized notion and celebrated the debased. Well, we have seen the consequences of that. And Dr. Ian McGilchrist puts it down like this: purely intellectualized, consciously derived art is congenial to the age because it is easy and therefore democratic. It can be made to happen on a whim without a long experience of apprenticeship leading to skill and without necessity for intuition, both of which are in part gifts and therefore unpredictable and undemocratic. Skills have been de-emphasized in art as elsewhere in culture. Also, innate feeling or love for art is not true for aesthetics. I know people who have nothing with art. They told me, I have nothing with it. And there are many who never visited a gallery or really looked at art. They can have different ways why that is, but it's hard to believe, right? But for those who have that sense, collecting art can satisfy this aesthetic sense by providing a source of visual pleasure. It has been proved that real art on the wall elevates your emotions. The visual pleasure is very subjective and a personal preference. Yet, it is still the painted or drawn art that has much higher vibration than digital art in all forms. And this was tested by David Hawkins in Power versus Force. There's also a form of status and prestige. This is more for those who want to collect valuable and rare works of art because it can signal wealth and status to others. One example of that is of the Medici, the famous Italian bankers, who collected art for status and prestige primarily, and later opened up their collection to show their wealth and power, but also to teach the people about art and aesthetics. Many collectors did this, hence the start of galleries and museums. The ownership of art can also serve as a means of differentiation and social distinction. That was when the churches, Vatican, and the royalties, kings and queens, and of course the Medici, who gave commissions. Later in Rembrandt's time, 17th century, it were the rich business people and the so-called upper class. It makes art rather elitist, and maybe to buy good art, that still is the case. Based on what I read in Good Art Doesn't Sell Itself, people can nowadays buy art based on their budget. And that can start with an art print if commissioning or buying an original is not within the budget. That said, these options make it less elitist than before. There's also investment, and I've divided this in two types of investment. When thinking about investment, financial investments come to mind. Art collecting can be seen as a form of investment with the potential to generate financial returns, ROI. Hence, investment galleries. Art prices can fluctuate. And owning valuable pieces can be a way to diversify one's investment portfolios. This way of collecting doesn't have to do so much with a pure love of art, but more on how much ROI someone receives. It is obvious that hedge funds and investment banks have artificially put prices for work to ridiculous heights, even if that art is not even good art or can't be considered art, but more entertainment. Lately, NFTs, which by the way can also painted arts, I will do an episode later on that, and AI, artificial information processing, are also part of this, and it has sparked and hijacked what art actually is. The NFTs have sparkled out so out of control that almost every artist on social media is overloaded with scams and people who rudely tell you they want to buy your art, only the digital part. Read, can I copy your image and sell it? Keep the real thing. And even dare to say it is a win-win. But how about commissioning or buying an original from an artist you know or met or have seen art of? Is that investment? Yes, it is. It is investing into art that you love. Investing in a painted portrait rather than a photo. It is investing in art for yourself or even your business. But this is an investment because of the price point and more emotional based than the cold money value attached, called the return on investment, ROI, in the investment world. You most likely keep the art and your family inherits it. And maybe at some point it's lent out for an exhibition. So yes, you can see this as an investment and build a collection that you love and maybe later open to public or donate to a museum. But the return on investment here is more emotional. This is the type of investment that serves people and artists. Many artworks are commissioned or bought as originals, and that goes from portraits to abstracts and landscapes, etc. The next one I want to discuss is personal expression. Collecting art can be a way for individuals to express their unique taste and personality. Collectors often curate their collections based on their individual preferences and interests, creating a reflection of their identity. That said, those collectors need a firm understanding of art and how to look at art. The saying that beauty is in the eye of the beholder is very overrated, because many, or maybe most, are not trained how to see, and they are dependent on the gallerist, which maybe is not the way to go. The love for your collection can go so much deeper if you have a proper understanding yourself and learn how to see yourself. That said, also many artists are collectors of art and invest in what they admire. Collecting art can have specifically an historical and cultural significance. Collecting art can be a way to preserve and promote cultural heritage. When a well-known artist from the Old Masters is up for auction, it's often that the extreme rich can invest the millions. An amount, of course, artificially pushed towards such a height that even for museums, it's extremely difficult to buy. This happened with the Joseph Reynolds portrait here in the UK. Fortunately, the museum found a partner museum and they bought it collectively. Collectors may be drawn to works of art that have historical or cultural significance, as they provide a window into the past and contribute to a broader understanding of human history and culture. If work has significance, it's also up for discussion because of the way the canon has been formed. Collections in public institutions are always formed mainly through personal interest, even if there is a board that needs to agree. For my PhD research, I have read many proposals for acquiring a specific work. I read how the director formulated the proposal to convince the board or trust to give their consent. Then, when they were properly prepped, the work came on site to the museum for the board trust to see with their own eyes. In the history of art, many great artists were hardly seen or pushed back into the depot as soon as a new director landed a position in a museum. So the significance of what we now know and believe is seen as important art for culture is highly subjective. You only have to look at how female artists were pushed out for decades. And let's not forget art made by African people. On the side note, art of the Western world had never been able to evolve the way it did without a profound influence of African art to start with. And last but not least, it is emotional connection. That also relates to the investment, the emotional investment. I think this is the most important connection, but relates mostly to private collectors who build an art collection or those who commission art because they feel emotionally connected with your work. Art can evoke a range of emotions in viewers, from joy, humor, and inspiration to sadness and contemplation. Collectors may be drawn to certain works of art because they resonate with their personal experiences and emotions, creating a deeper sense of connection and meaning. And I know from personal experience that people who commission me to paint a portrait, and I can only speak for myself, but they always feel a deeper emotion and a deeper emotional connection. And when I am with them, when they unwrap it, there are always tears and a firm hug. The emotional connection is what makes art more important for humanity than any financial investment for solely the financial return on investment. So, artists, I would say whatever it is you do, master it, hone the skills, keep doing different courses because the last iteration of the psychology of collecting art is where you come in. It is not the specific subject topic that is most popular. It is not ever adapting to the needs of the market or trends. That is the story of art sales and marketing people and investment galleries. They are not about the emotion. They are about political correctness and financial cold ROI. It is not AI with its instant gratification. It is not tracing photos and color them in.
It is the hard work you put in to reach those who will feel emotionally attached. Those who love the stories. They're the main psychology of collecting is. But last but not least, it is how much you believe in your work. Master the skill needed to create that organic unity society needs to be and show what humanity can achieve. Because in the end, it is all about the human connection. Thank you all for listening. Next week, I will put out some thoughts about the isms in art that have taken kind of a strange turn. If you enjoy this podcast, please support me on Patreon, Karin's Art Talk. Link is in the show notes. If you want to reflect on this episode, please do so. I like a good discussion. And you can also find my work on karinmerix.co.uk, Instagram, Karin Merix Fine Art, Facebook, Karin Merix Fine Art, and YouTube at the handle Karin Merix Fine Art. Speak to you next week. Bye. I wish you a very peaceful and productive week. And remember, art is the cradle of your soul. Take care.